connection with Rav Shemin Auer, Lineger. And I was asked to speak about the situation in our life as full people. We hope that we're full. We want to believe we are full. But can we make a Shuvah D'oraisa that we're full? The answer is no. How many people in the world hold the Torah in Beit Din? And the question would be, can you swear in the name of Hashem that you are full, like the Torah demands? How many can say yes? Only the fools will say yes. Because the fools, they think they're Gdolei Ador. The less they know, the more they think they are important. Someone who knows Torah, nice letter. He knows what a nothing I am. Someone doesn't know anything, the Gemara already made a name for it. Istera de Lagina Kish Kishkaria. One penny in a box makes a lot of noise. In the introduction of the book, Alei Shuv, from Golbi, if you ever saw him sitting in a bus, Eretz Israel, you look at his face, you see the Shekhinah. You can see the Shekhinah. But someone who has a Shekhinah on his face told me that he saw the Shekhinah on his face. If I would be there in a bus, probably I wouldn't see. See a tzaddik, what do I know about Shekhinah? But he was... So he wrote in the introduction of Alei Shuv about the Bnei Torah. I think that we have doubled the amount of Bnei Torah supposedly today, 34 years ago when he wrote this book, I don't know exactly when. He wrote that many of the Bnei Torah, he's talking someone who sits and learns all day, are completely bachutz. And in his time, when he wrote the book, there was no internet, no news, no Hasidish newspaper, Litvish newspaper, Alei Shuv newspaper, news. Everyone's connected to the news like infusion in his veins. 2 hours, Mara, Tosfot, Marsha, then this, that, Machloke, that, throwing eggs, fighting. His whole head is a big salad. 2 hours, Kedusha, 1 hour, Tum'ah, 2 hours, Kedusha, 3 hours, Tum'ah. It's like putting water on a fire, 5 minutes, take it off. 2 minutes, take it off. Three, that. All day like this, it doesn't boil. 34 years in Avrech Kollel, he comes, he has a car, he brings, he gets $500 a month, 1,000 if it's in New York. Very nice, like a bus driver. He gets a salary, this after 34 years, you come and tell him, one sugiya in a shas, the Alpeh. One, from A to Z, all the opinions. Shakla, Tarya, what's Machloket, Machloket Sunya, why this world is here? It doesn't make sense. What's the Machloket between Rashi? The entire thing, from A to Z, 30 years in the college. Maybe you would say, I don't know. Also, today you go to an average yeshiva college, and you ask one question in halacha, usually the answer will be Machloket. Never find anyone who knows the answer halachot. They have the poskim, that's their job. Everyone else should be a poskim. Every person who learned minimum 10 years should be able to answer any question in halacha. If he's a serious learner, after 10 years, 16, 17 hours a day, a few hours in halacha, should have known already how to come with the halacha by himself. Not every little thing. What should I do? Peace, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Lav, none of that. Simple questions. 20 years in college. You come, I don't want to say names. A friend of mine went into a place who was considering one seat, and Midei Chachamim, serious one, sits over there. 45 minutes, we're trying to get allowed or not allowed. Nobody knows. The Gemara said, before the Mashiach comes, the woman comes with the chicken, she asks him, Bet HaMidrash, kosher, not kosher. Nobody will give an answer. But that's not what I came to talk about. Why? Because if you ask, not me, everything I say, I always hang on someone. I know I'm nothing. But I speak to somebody that is a giant, and I speak in his name. My problem is that I'm not always remember which gadol I'm calling. That's what I'm afraid to say, because sometimes I make mistakes. But I promise you that I don't make up anything. That's one thing I'm very careful with. And the question is, if you ask today, what's more important? To be book smart? You know, he knows a lot, knows a lot, you know, I understand what you're talking about. Or to be a human being? You ask, what do you mean? Someone who knows Shas has to be a human being. Reality-wise, not true. 500 years ago, when people were much better than today, much more decent, much more honest, much higher emuna, much more kavod chachamim, much less lashon hara, much holier, the place, the world was clean. Even the goyim, the goyot, they didn't dress like today, 500 years ago. Look at black and white picture from 100 years ago, if you find me one not modest picture, by the goyim, you won't find. So the world was clean, the food was very simple, life was very poor, no electric, no electronic, no computer, no internet, no politics, no elections, none of the politics that we have today. And the Shulchan Aruch says, Talmid Chacham Shemidotav Raot, Nechas Rucha Bashuk Tova Mimeno. Talmid Chacham, but you know which Talmid Chacham. Which means if you take 100 today, there won't be one Talmid Chacham that Shulchan Aruch was talking about. 500 years ago, Shulchan Aruch, if Rabbi Yosef Karo called someone a Talmid Chacham, it's someone that doesn't exist today in the world. That's what he meant, Talmid Chacham. If we take our Talmid Chachamim today to Rabbi Yosef Karo and say, this is a Talmid Chacham, I don't know if he can hold his laugh compared to what it was 500 years ago. The truth hurts, but it's okay. If Tachmed or Rokish Moel Bedoro, it's no contradiction. What we call big Talmid Chacham today is considered like Talmid Chacham 500 years ago. Why? According to the generation, according to the world. But when he said Talmid Chacham, means somebody was really a Talmid Chacham. You never find him not knowing something. In any halacha you ask, that's a real Talmid Chacham. That his midos is bad, and that right on the street is better than him. We have to faint when we read it. Which means it's possible you'd be almost Moshe Rabbeinu. You'd be a rotten human being like Vini on the street. Black people, it's better than you. In the eyes of Hashem, because this is Shulchan Aruch, it's halacha lemaaseh. Not allowed to learn Torah from him. I saw one time halacha, I was mamash shaking when I read it. He says, someone will teach you all the truth, teach you Mara, teach you Musa, teach you everything. He's talmid chacham she'eno hagun, not that he's rasha, she'eno hagun. Not decent. What does it mean, not decent? It doesn't give you an honest advice. What does it mean, an honest advice? You have a college, you write the checks, you hire rabbis, they teach. And then you have one of the talmidim, he asks your opinion if you should move to a higher college or not. But you have this talmid, he's teaching Mara in your college, and he's saving you $1,500 a month salary for another melamed. There's already an avrech there. You're taking advantage of him. 2 hours a day, he donates to teach the new talmidim. Usually you see it in Baalei Tshuva yeshivas. It's more common by then. So it's a dilemma. You're struggling as it is to raise funds to pay the rabbis. You're usually 6 months behind, if you're lucky. And now somebody wants to quit and go to a higher yeshiva, because that's what he needs. To go to a higher yeshiva, but you're going to lose a melamed. You have to burn now another $1,500 a month, and it's hard as it is. So you come and say to him, no, what's wrong here? Look, Mansi, beautiful, no pritzus, what a place. You get here in Hachamayim. You give him a whole speech, you convince him to stay 2 more years. He didn't tell him to your Chazal Shabbos. Still learning Torah all day. Even Mezaki Arabi, he teach. What was the right advice, of course? You have to move, go be a dayan. Learn 4, 5, 6 years to be somebody important. I'm telling you the story because it happened with me 15 years ago. The one who was learning with me, Yeshiva, he was teaching also. Because what happened? He was full until 18. So he learned, he was very serious talmid. Then he went off the derech for a few years. He got married, and then him and his wife came, became Baalei Teshuva in a seminar, and he came to yeshiva, but he had all the knowledge of all the years. So 1, 2, 3, within a year or two, became Marash serious. It was melame, it's teaching. He was a very serious person, he loved to learn. You need to love to learn. If you don't love to learn, it's very hard to progress. But he was very good, he was progressing very nice. He has knowledge in every sugiya. So he asked that question from the Rosh Yeshiva. And he told him, no, absolutely not. Ask me this question a year from now. So I told him, don't listen to him. I'm responsible. Take your stuff. You need money for tickets. I'll help you out. You go to Eretz Israel. You go to the yeshiva I wanted to go. It's 100 times higher than here. That's what you need. Don't listen to him. He's taking advantage of you. He wants somebody to work for him for free. I said, no, but yeah, it's Da'at Torah. I said, it's not an honest Da'at Torah. Da'at Torah like this, you don't need not allowed to listen to. Tomorrow I'll tell you to be chazir if it's going to cost you money. Don't listen to him. He went and he became a very big gadol, one of the most important rabbis in Eretz Israel today. Questions from all over coming to him. If I tell you his name, you won't believe that. Probably you won't even recognize him. So, what happened? Talmid Chacham has to be also decent, not to look in his own pocket, his own comfortable way. You have to give the person the right advice for him, even if it costs me $1 million. Why? Because we have 2 levels in life. What's the level? We have the reward and we have the MS. I'll give you an example. If a person lost money on the street and a poor Jew found it, is considered tzedakah or not? Who lost money on the street? So first reaction is, Hashem, please, if I already lost the money, at least a Jew that needs money for food, find it. Then some terrorist. And a Jew found it. You get a tzedakah for it or no? Your money went to a Jew and he bought food for Shabbos for his children, no? One good thing was done with your money. You have tzedakah here or no? What do you say?
No, it's also anyway.
Yeah, it's not. Mara say, or let me have not stuck up. But, mitzvot tzvot kavana. I mean, we keep stuck, I have to have in mind, I'm doing a mitzvah the right. So, if we go into the psychology of a Jew, a few things the Gemara say, Adam and Mashmesh, like he saw all the time, so there's Yehush, all kinds of things, but one over here, and a Jew knows that his money went to a good cause, he'll be very happy. He doesn't want to lose it, but once I lost it, if it went to a good cause, that's really what I want. It's a the. But there are 2 levels of rewarding. But first the reward. Hashem pays you reward that you give tzedakah. Not exactly, maybe less, but something you get. But there is something that is higher than the reward, it's the emet. The emet is a much higher level. Because I said in my previous lecture now, most of us, we are very happy from the reward we're going to get. And we have who to count on. David HaMelech wrote, Shamarti, I don't know exactly the passage, but you know what I'm talking about. If I remember, he's saying, Shamarti mitzvotecha, ala sachar asher tzafanta li reecha. I'm keeping your mitzvot. So it's clear, a passage in Tehillim. For the reward that you need for your followers, for those who have Yirat Shamayim. So I'm doing for the reward. Very good. It's not a crime to want the reward. I did what Hashem told me. I had an opportunity to steal a diamond worth $1 million, and I didn't touch it, not because there was a camera, because Hashem is watching. It's a very nice thing to do. I deserve a reward, at least $1,000, no? You give up $1 million for the truth. You do it for the reward, yeah, it's good, it's not a crime, it's not a sin, no problem. But there's a much higher level than that. That I have said that before, I like to give this example. Just because before you're about to give tzedakah, Hashem comes to your ear and he whispers, Moshe, for this tzedakah you give, there's no reward. 1 week strike, no computer in the bed in Shemala, without recording transaction. You're about to write $10,000 check, what happened? Became $10. 3-0 and forgot to buy it. What am I giving for? I'm not gonna get anything for it. Losing the money. It's a higher level. Oh yeah, there's no sachar. I had a zero. Finally, an opportunity to do the Shem Shamayim, not for my baby. How many like this baby? We see it in yeshiva. Most people, what do they learn? What the yeshiva, what the kollel decides for them. The kollel has routine. The kollel allow you to learn with yuchet ruta. Some kollel, no, Baba Metzia is Baba Metzia. That's it, Seder Rishon. Baba Basra, Baba Matra. That's what we have to learn. You get paid here, you have to go by the yeshiva. They have the rules. Every kollel with his rules. But the question is, if a person is learning, some things in the Torah is more interesting to this particular person than other things. It's attracted to Dinei Mamonos. It's not attracted so much to Nashim, let's say. So he automatically will always go to the Babos. Won't go to things that it's not interesting me so much. Or Korbanos. It's not halacha lemaseh. What am I learning about Tumah, Tava? It doesn't apply anyway. Most likely I'll die before Mashiach comes. That's what he thinks. I'm gonna burn 3-4 years on this. Okay, I know a lot about it. But in reality, it doesn't help me in my everyday. Now, when I learn Shabbos, Beitza, this, that I know. It's halacha lemaseh. So I learn the Rishonim, I know what to do. So automatically, it's more interesting. But you know, the Chafetz Chaim, he made a group that was learning all the halachot of Beit HaMikdash. Maybe the Mashiach will come, but it wasn't relevant to the halacha lemaseh. Eventually, it wasn't relevant. They learn. It wasn't halacha lemaseh. Because you're not even enjoying that part of learning. Who say you have to enjoy? Actually, when you enjoy, it's less lishma. When you're not so enjoying, who say you have to enjoy? Everything in the Torah you have to enjoy. If you're Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, yes. Who say you have to learn only when you have a cheshek? Sometimes you come to the Bachurim, you ask them, why are you not learning today? Today I'm down, I don't have cheshek. Who say you have to learn only when you have cheshek? When you're not in the mood to eat, you still eat? Yeah, you eat. You don't eat, you die. The neshama has to eat. You have to feed the neshama. You're not in the mood to eat today. You still feed the neshama. We have a serious problem in our communities. We've been busy for the last 30 years to hide everything under the rug. That's the truth. I'm saying some hard things here. You don't have to accept it. And again, I repeat, I'm a nobody, I'm not an opinion, I'm not a man de amar. I just say, from what I hear, from what I see, that's my work, so I see a lot of things that are happening in our communities, and I bring it up. Now you decide if you want to accept this Musa or not. We have a serious problem. Yes, the kollels are much more full than 30 years ago. We have more Torah learners. Baruch Hashem, many buildings, many synagogues, Baruch Hashem. In reality, the level of the people is so much lower than our generation. Much, much lower. If I say something, and I know 100% that I'm right, that if a person would have to come and get connected to a lie detector of Hashem, not of the police, Hashem comes, said Eliyahu HaNavi, okay, everyone stand online, let's get connected. Connects it to our feeling here, there. Everywhere in our body. And the Eliyahu HaNavi will ask the question, do you think you form according to Hashem's opinion? Not to your rabbi, to your neighbors, to your wife, to your in-laws. According to Hashem's opinion, you think you form? Do you think 1% of the people will pass the test? Let's be honest. I'm sure without any doubt that not even 1% will pass the test. I'll tell you why. Not me, I didn't write the Torah. I'm just going to tell you what does it mean to be full. First thing, to have very high level of emunah in Hashem. Not to worry about parnasah. Needless to say, not to steal, to cheat, to forge, to sell damaged merchandise, to steal from the goyim, to forge signature, to use stolen credit cards, all the things that we have in our communities. Don't dream that we don't have it. We have it a lot. Many people, jails are full of white collar criminals. They have more than 1 million every day, unfortunately. They didn't get there because they did what Hashem wants them. And I know what you're going to say, it's not a kosher call, the witnesses are not Shomer Shabbos, it's a goy job. I know all these things. We are not talking about how much they're guilty according to the Goyish code. We are talking about the 5% that are guilty from all the other people. The 5%, the 95% are not guilty. The 5% that are guilty, for them I'm talking about. But we have something even worse than money now. Greed and love for money and comfortable life and beautiful houses and nice cars and jewelry and all these things that everyone is after. You may think to yourself, in a community like here, who cares about materialism? Who cares? It's the most materialistic neighborhood in America. Who cares? Every other person here is addicted to names, to vacations, to the mountains, to beautiful. Every house you come looks like a museum, if they can afford it. They can't afford it, it's a different story. They don't have. Just give them $500,000 cash, you see. Come back next month and see if their house stays what it is, or it becomes a mansion like Queen Elizabeth's bedroom. What happened to Halba Melach Tuchal and all these things? What happened to them? It doesn't exist. Right now, I'm a noose. I don't have money. I live with $1,000 salary from a college. I have, you know, a rubber bank. Give him some money, see what's going to happen to him in 2 months. Just because it doesn't live like a peacock, fancy schmancy, doesn't mean it's not his dream. What's the proof? Look at the kids. Why are the kids so jealous when there's a rich kid? I told you the story about Rabbi Akiva Iger. Can I say it in the year when I was here a few weeks ago? Rabbi Akiva Iger went to visit his son. He was learning by the Kotz Yeshiva. He went to visit his son in Yeshiva. He was a teenager. So he came in, he saw everyone is around the table. And there was one bachur sitting there. So he asked his son, what's special about this bachur? Is he Talmid Chacham? No. And he said, well, is he rich? He said, no. Is he meyuchas? He come from an important family? No. So what's his specialty that everyone is around him? He said, he's an anav. Humble. The Akiva Iger said, what is he have? No Torah, no money, no yichud, no nothing. What is he going to be proud of? He needs something to be proud of. If he has nothing, why everyone is admiring him? He's an Anna. If you have all the skills and you're an Anna, that's a different story. You don't have legs, you don't have eyes, you don't have a penny. You sleep on the street and make fire in the garbage can because you don't want to die. And then everyone comes around you and says, wow, this is our hero. Everyone asks, why is he a hero? Because he's Anav, look how he lives. Well, what do you mean how he lives? What to eat? He doesn't deserve the reward. So that's what he said. But then when the Rebbe came, he said, I disagree with him. Why? Logically, he's right. But reality shows that the bigger of a loser you are, the more ego you have. That's reality. He's the Rabbi Levina Kishkish Karev. He knows two drashot to give. Already Gdol Ador, all over the newspaper, they made him the new Rebbe. Why? Because he had a grandfather in Russia, in Poland, in Luz, the Shas by Rab, was a very big tzaddik. Now they decided to put somebody. There's a beautiful $5,000 hat, and he became the new Mandei Amar. That's really what's happening in our communities today. Nobody says the truth. The secular people have a mashal. It's called Amelech Huerom. The king is naked. Why? Because one time the tailor was finding who's going to make a special outfit for the king. Everyone prepared, and then one person didn't know how to make. So he said, let's fool the king. Anyway, no one would dare to tell the king that he's naked. So everyone would go like this. And everyone will give him compliment because nobody wants to tell the king the truth in his face. And like this, I'm going to get all the glory. So he said to the king, like this, like that, and there's really no nothing. It's just a mashal. And after that, the king said, well, I don't understand. But if I'm going to say I don't see anything, I don't deserve to be a king. Maybe I'm not normal. Let me play with everyone. So he said to his advisor, what do you think? He said, beautiful outfit. I never saw such. Everyone comes. What do you think about the king's outfit? Everyone, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Then the king went to the parade. Everyone is clapping. You saw the outfit of the king. And the tailor goes like this. Until one little stupid kid screamed, the king is naked. Okay. And then everyone started to scream. I don't have to tell you what happened to the tailor. Well, we didn't have that scream in our community yet. That's why every 2-3 days we have the biggest Chilul Hashem in the world. And that's why it's almost impossible anymore for people who walk in the roof to make Baalei Teshuva. That's it, the doors are locking. Why it's impossible? It's our fault. Because they come to me and they say to me, why be in the midges? We rape, you rape. We molest, you molest. We rob, you rob. We live fake life, you live fake your life. We are arrogant, you are arrogant. Our women are naked, your women are worse. Look at their $5,000 wigs and tight clothes and short skirts, how they walk in all the streets of your neighborhoods. It's all baloney. You like to bark a lot, but in reality you do nothing. So what are you answering the guy like this? Is he lying? No, he's not lying. You know, one day in the news that we don't have somebody with a Froom's vision, that they put him all over the newspaper, he did this, the FBI called him, this, all this, every week. Ponzi scam, rape, this, that. Of course, it's not allowed to be said. Don't know. In the religious newspaper, nobody, they change it. They put it under the rug, they make it not as bad. Not guilty, they're all wicked. How long are we going to live in this life? You know what it's like? When a person has tragedies in his family, what's the first thing he does? He takes all his mezuzahs. Each one costs him $100. Let's say he has 20 in his house. He runs to the sofa, holding the mezuzot, hoping for good news. What's the good news? Maybe you'll find 2-3 mezuzot pasul. I'll pay $300 and the problem is over. When we have a sofer in one scene, I like you, Mike. He has a head. And we all have heads. Some of our heads are sometimes a little bit empty with the way we think. But he has a head. Always thinking, no matter what the situation, he doesn't care. Every situation, he is thinking to the last detail. So when this customer comes to him, say, hey, Rebbe, here is the Zuzot. So much problem, my son this, my daughter like this, my wife, we have this, I have that. This surgery. He said, right away, I have no good news for you. Only the Zuzot are kosher. They say to him, I didn't even open it. So I'm telling you, they are kosher. You wait and see, they're kosher. How do you know? I'm telling you, they're kosher. Why, instead of running to hope that the mezuzot is pasul, you didn't bring yourself for check? Did you check yourself? Did you check your honesty? No. Integrity? No. Loyalty? No. Yirat Shamayim? No. Chesed? No. Zviut? Hypocrite or not? You didn't check. Devotion, hard working, good husband, good father, good learner, lover of Hashem, Mezake Arabi, Baal Tzedakah, Baal Chesed. Your mark is zero in every one of them. And not only that, just when you think that all your sins is shoyded, check again, it's all amazing. All amazing. But the Yetzer Hara will convince you that it's not your fault, someone fooled you, you didn't really know, they told you it's good. In the end, if you check carefully, the last thing, if they will bring you a case like this to judge somebody else, you will decide that he's guilty. Then when they tell you it's you, maybe you change your verdict. Because this is the way we are. And Adam going in the air small. But Vol Berode is in a generation that were much better than us. Somebody was learning, he was learning. He didn't have internet. He didn't have phones. He didn't have advertisement on his phone of naked ladies every minute. He didn't have naked ladies on the street, and when he comes out of college, everything he learned goes down to the garbage in less than a second. Didn't have it. 30, 40 years ago, in Yerushalayim, in the neighborhoods where they learned, that's it. There's no access, there's no even television. What? Well, they bought television first. Few people have black and white. It was a clean world. What's it like today? A million times worse. What's happening on the streets? A million times worse. And he wrote that many of the avrechim bachutz bichlal, completely out. I don't know what it means bachutz. Bachutz means bachutz of the Torah or bachutz of religion. We don't know. But that's it. That was then. Imagine today. Imagine when the Ramchal spoke about a real chassid. There's any similarity to what we call today chassid to what the Ramchal wrote about being a chassid? not even 1% similarity. According to the Ramchal, according to the Ramchal, from every 1,000 people who call themselves a Hasid, maybe one eventually will become one. Maybe one. Read the Perek HaChassidut of the Gaon Mivilna, when he got this book in handwriting, they wrote it to him. He wore, you know the story, he wore a Shabbos outfit. He said, oh, Gadol Yarad La'olam, huge light came to the world. Where is this Chacham? They said to him, he's in Italy, in Padova. He said, I will walk to him. Walk to him. Gaon Mivilna. Gaon Mivilna. 9 years old, Mudol Torah, secrets, Malachim. He wanted to build a golem when he, in his bar mitzvah, they stopped him from Shamayim. And he got, saw him in Sinat Yesharim, he got up, he wore his Shabbos clothes. He was ready to say, Rabbi, it's too late, he just passed away, 38 years old. Wrote many books, we have only few, most of them are gone, way above the level of the generation. But what he wrote is Hasidut, compared to what we call today Hasidut, it's a joke. Just to use this word. Because it's a much higher level than a tzaddik, and we are so far from being tzaddik. We really examine ourselves. It's a tzaddik. First rule being a tzaddik is right away emunah. Most people have no emunah in Hashem. They fight for money, they write lashon hara, they send people to threaten, mafia, goyim, break bones, all kinds of things like this that you hear. Where is the emunah in Hashem? Someone has emunah in Hashem needs Fini to go and collect with a gun for him. Obviously doesn't have emunah. Or all kinds of other things. Someone who has emunah fights to become a rebbe between him and his brother. He fights with him. He prays to Hashem. He goes to the room, he cries to Hashem. If I deserve to be the rebbe of this community, make it happen. If not, please don't make it happen. I'm not going to pay for my mistake. That's it. Let them fight. You know the story, David HaMelech. Adonia ben Chagit already made himself a carriage, all the important people made him the king. What happened? Hashem knew he doesn't deserve to be a king. Shlomo HaMelech, 12 years old, has to be a king. 12 years old. Didn't have bar mitzvah yet. Didn't put tefillin yet. Boy! Not Adonai, we call his mother, but Shem, right away, come to the king. Last minute, another hour or two, maybe the king would pass away. And who knows what would happen, but it's all in Ashgachat Hashem. A rabbi of a community is a king of that community. It's a big responsibility. I do not know who wants to be a rabbi. Pirkei Avot say, Rabbanut mekaveret et ba'aleha. Destroy you. Destroy you. What, for the millions you're going to make? For people listening to you, you know what responsibility it is? I would never agree to be, not a rabbi, never agree to be a dayan in a bed deal. Never sleep at night. All the things that happen, so they can cheat, give her again, don't give her again. Nothing is different now. I have sometimes questions. I shake before I answer simple answers. And I don't answer for my own opinion. I'm reading from a book the answer. Still worry, so maybe it's unique of you. Most of the hard questions right away I send to someone. What do I get it? What am I going to do with responsibility? I know the answer. That's somebody else take responsibility. What's the rush to be a big man de amar? What? To sit on an important chair? Better not to. What? You want to make money? Money we make regardless of our position. If you think that your job will make you money, kavod, every fool knows kavod is poison. Give me one reason why a person would want to be the ruler of the community. The opposite. Should run away from this job. What do you think, Chazal or fools? Run away from that. It's not, but today, everywhere. The chief rabbis, they passed away, right away, a third world war begins. Everywhere you go, doesn't matter, without saying who. Everywhere. Every bet midrash. Why we have so many synagogues? 90% of them because of machlokot and ego and pride and what redifat betza. Just, that's what creates so many synagogues. We lost billions of dollars because everyone wants to open himself an minyan. Why? The Rovam ben Nevat. They don't want to go to Yerushalayim when Rechavam sits and he stands. I know one person to his own son's Brit Mila, to his grandchildren, he didn't want to go if he's not a son. He didn't come. But he said, Abba, I already gave you some dakut, first one, second one, let me give somebody else. Your father's gonna stand there like one of the people, then step outside, doesn't come in. Yerovam ben Nevat, do you know one rabbi in the world that knows 1,000,000th of his Torah? 1,000,000th. Chazal say, Chazal call him Talmid Chacham. He didn't call me Talmid Chacham. Chazal call Yerovam ben Nevat, yesh lo 127 מהלכים בכל סוגיה בתורה. I don't think there's anybody since him until now that had that. 127 different complete sugiyot. In one sugiyah, he can explain it in 127, whatever that means. Check this for me, I don't know what it means. He can give you, my understanding is, he can stand over here and give you a lecture, and another one, and 127 different lectures about one sugiyah in the Talmud, complete different lectures, explaining it from different. Very complicated. And what happened in the end? Hashem put him in a garbage bag. Why? Ego. Everything, all it. How much amal to become such a Talmid Chacham? How many thousands of hours he left Torah? How many? All this was for nothing. He has no share to the world to come. And okay, the whole of that. The shoemaker in his time has heaven, and he didn't have. What ego? Who speaks about ego in our community? A little bit here and there. You go to some places, you say, you want to be a chazan, you have to ask permission from the gabbai. Very fair. Every place has to have order. The gabbai is a job. Very good. So far, it's fine. But then what comes right after shows about our level, and everything that we do is external. Nothing is real. It's all fake. It says over there, if you don't have a hat, you cannot be a chazan. Why? It's a minhag of the community. No problem, we'll go with the minhag. If you don't speak in a special havara, whatever it is, Siddish, Litvi, Sfaradi, everyone with his havara, you cannot be a chazan, fine. If you don't have the stripe here, you cannot be a chazan, even if you have a bet, cannot be a chazan. If you speak Lashon Hara all day and murder 500 Jews every day, you'll be the best chazan of the community, no problem. You get up at 10 o'clock in the morning and we'll see you in the mikveh 10:40 and you arrive at 11:15 to daven shachrit and by the time you finish you already eat your lunch? No problem. Nobody make a big. Person who doesn't have a $200 hat, excuse my language, that Adolf Eichmann has the same hat. We copy from them. Who do you think we copy? Our custom from them. If a person doesn't wear it, he cannot be chazan in front of Hashem. He doesn't have the stripe. Yes, a bet. Mafri ben ayurva al alev. Yes, a bet. Or even if you tie the button, it's already. But, no, it's the custom. Fine, chas v'shalom, I'm not mezalzel minhagim. Minhag is minhag, you have to keep it. But the minhag became the Ten Commandments. This stripe is more important than Milot Yitzach. Why nobody writes, if you speak Lashon Hara, do us a favor, don't be our chazan. Did you ever see that? You Michal El Shabbos and you text on Shabbos, please don't be Michal El Shabbos. You say, what? In our community, people text on Shabbat? I'll show you 1,000 with beard and peos that text on Shabbat. 1,000 that came to me in the last few years. Thousands! Right here, around the street. Some of them being chazan, what do you think? They're very outside, they become chazan. You don't suspect them. A beautiful beard that is texting on Shabbat. But nobody makes a beard. Well, we're going to say that we have Michal El Shabbos in our community. I spoke in a dinner of a raving organization. They have kids off the derech. And I said over there, I think they never posted on the website just because of that thing. The rest of the lecture was good, very good. But one thing I said, I just couldn't help it. I had to say the truth in their face. So I said over there, one boy came to me because his father asked me to save him. I expected to see man's off the dead. Earring, tattoos, shorts, pants, walking with goyot. That's what I expected based on his father's story. So a guy with beard, not very long, but beard, big black yarmulke, dressed properly, kovea itim la Torah, learn 2 or 3 hours every day, shomer old mitzvot, very smart, very straight mind. Who knows what's ikar, what tafel, mamash. I can almost say Talmid Chacham. I said to my son, maybe father met another son. So it looks a little bit modern, but his father already put an X on him as a lost case. I say to him, I'm telling you the truth, I'm embarrassed. I mean, I think in my opinion, you're much better than me. Your father sent it to me. With my headache, nobody let me learn anymore. All day, phone calls, emails, this, and struggling for an hour here and there. You're already doing more than me. What's your father want? He said, yeah, because, you know, we're Hasidic. I don't look anymore Hasidic. I said, but you keep all the mitzvot. You're making any avera. Talk to me. We want one. He said, no, I'm very careful. Not these, not women, not everything fine. But he doesn't dress like a certain way. So his father put an X on him. One kid came to me. He said, I'm never going to become full again. I said, why? He said, because my father and the entire community is all fake. I said to him, why? Why you say that? There's a lot of righteous people. Why you put an X on everyone? So he said to me, let me ask you a question. My father saw that I'm off the derech, right? Okay. So he came to me and said, let's make a deal. I'll give you $500 every month in one condition. You wear white shirt and walk with a black hat. And, you know, and when you're in a community, don't make us embarrassment to the family. Pretend that you're a normal, regular Hasid like you used to be. And for that, I'll give you $500 every month. So the boy told me, teenager, told me, you see that my father is a crook? It's not religious. It doesn't kill him that I'm Mechalel Shabbos and I'm going with Goyot in Manhattan. He never told me I'll give you $500 if you don't touch the girls. And if you'll be Shomer Shabbos, dress like a gypsy, it's not important. But as long as you're not Chalel Shabbos, Harel can go to Chol Davar. Why didn't offer me $500 not to be Chalel Shabbos? Because it's fake. He doesn't care about religion. He only cares what people would say. And we all of us like this. Some more, some less. Almost all of us like this. I saw one time a rabbi that has an autistic kid. He was maybe 16 years old, 15 years old. He was giving a drasha in a big synagogue full of people, and the autistic kid, you know, autistic kid, not Bardat, he got up, he's standing, lots of cameras, large audience, the autistic kid standing in front of his father and go like this, father of man, 200 people there. And then he goes like this, and the father talk like nothing happened. Now he can say to him, say nothing. Wasn't embarrassed. He's embarrassing him the entire hour. It was like this. Everyone is nervous in the audience. Everyone was nervous. They didn't make a big deal. Most of us, right away, excuse me, take him out, buy him ice cream, give him coffee, do something. Why? Can't take the embarrassment. Didn't make a big deal. Why? I'm here. What people will think about me? I have an autistic kid. What's the problem? What's the problem? I shouldn't give me this neshama. I have to raise him. He's like this. 100%, I'm taking it with Alpha. How many are hiding him? No, don't drink. What's this? Why? Because that's one thing, what people's gonna say. It's all about what people's gonna say. It's not about how rotten I am. And to cry to Hashem, hey, I'm begging you, save me from my misery, save me from the hole I'm in. That's what I was asking for. Make me close to you. Let me get rid of the internet. Let me get rid of the news, let me get rid of the newspaper, let me get rid of what's happening on the streets here, let me be Shavua Batorah, let me not worry about Manasa, let me be a good husband, let me be a good father. All these things that it's mandatory. Without this you cannot be a tzaddik. Nothing to talk about. For that we have to cry. That's what the Chazon Ish wrote. Chazon Ish lied. He said if a person would realize how miserable he is, if he will cry to Hashem with all his strength, such crying, for how much he went down and how much he's far from Hashem and the Torah, if he get to a point that he cries so bad about it, he should already know that Kvar Hishig Harbe, he already achieved a lot. And Tfilato Nishmat. And when he's crying to Hashem right now, they're empty to be accepted. But it doesn't happen. You know, there's a Gemara, Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya. Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya. There's not one prostitute in the world he didn't visit. Gemara described it. And one time he went, and you know the story, I'm sure you heard it 500 times. The entire story we know, There's only one question to ask. It's one thing you finally realize that you're worse than a monkey, or worse than a dog, and one prostitute made you bad tshuva. No, come say something. Most of them die in the sea. So what? She woke him up. Very nice. He made tshuva. How he became a rabbi overnight? Did he finish us? Did he give back all the things that he knew? What? What? He died. Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya, Zuman Lechaya Olam Abba Rabbi, Gdol Ador, he became. Yesterday was visiting from one place to another. Now he made tshuva in it. Because the way of the tshuva that he made, he got to such a level, he doesn't need a lot. Really, it's amazing. He cried so much. How many people in history cried and died from crying? I don't remember it ever happened. Do you know a person Chas v'Shalom lost his child, Lo Aleinu? He cried, put his hair. No, in the end, he doesn't die. 2 months later, he smiled. How many people in history cried from a sin to a level that they died? Only one time. I don't recall any other place, maybe you know. Did you ever hear another case like this? What do you see? That really to do tshuva and chapara, it's really an hour. But to get to the level of this hour can take 700 years. Like the Ari says in Yom Kippur, if a person doesn't automatically cry, he should know his neshama is in the darkness. In the dirt. And automatically, as soon as a person hears, should faint. You know, one generation ago, I said it in my Elul Drasha, one generation ago, 30, 40 years ago, no matter what synagogue you went, when the Gabbai came in Rosh Chodesh Elul and say, gentlemen, Elul, half of the people at the shul used to faint. A fact. You have 50 people, 20, 25, fainting. What happened? It's hard. You know, bring water. Oh, Moshe is here. Abraham is there. And half of the people are fainting. Today, the Gabbai say, gentlemen, Elul. What? Elul. Elul. Elul, big deal. Elul, man. Purim, Elul. Purim, it's all the same. How many people faint today when they say Elul? Rav Shach, he gave an example from Eichmann, Yimach Shimo. Eichmann, believe it or not, he made one bad tshuva. He gave a time Jew who hung him, became a rabbi. Thanks to him. But Eichmann, 1 hour before they hung him, they asked him, what's your final request? So he wanted a glass of red wine, a steak, and a German newspaper. They're going to hang you and burn your body 1 hour before you can eat the steak? How can it be? A Jew, he got $100 ticket, his steak is on the table, he doesn't touch it. Ticket, parking ticket. So furious. Oh, how can it be? Science said like this. Moshe, eat your steak. Okay, I lost my appetite. If he gets an invitation from the IRS, he doesn't need a steak for years. Or anything else. What happened? He lost so much weight. Maybe he's going to get $5,000 fine in the end of the investigation. If he gets arrested, he cannot even go to the bathroom. And this Eichmann, they're going to hang him. But it goes to the history as hung. Everyone would know. He's a newspaper. I'm not sure, person with no neshama. This is what there was the drasha of Shach Ponovich. The difference between a monster, a person that has no Hashem and no neshama, to a person who has connection to Hashem. A person who has connection to Hashem, he hear a trial, right away faint. Why we faint? Did you ask yourself, why there's such thing that a person all of a sudden fall and faint? If he wouldn't faint, he'll die. The faint is like in the electric. You have a switch. When there's a shock, it jumps. Before the house is burned, that's a switch. But they see the voltage is going high, automatically jump. The fuse is cut, and it saves the house. $1, $7 million house. Same thing Hashem made in a body. If a person is blood pressure and anxiety goes high, another 20, 30 seconds gets a heart attack. The body won't be able to tolerate. You know, it was a wedding in Eretz Israel. Chatan Bekala. By the end of the wedding, the bag with all the checks and the cash, all the gifts is gone. Okay, well, it was like 5 minutes ago. Everyone looks around. They needed to pay for the band, for the catering. Everything is gone. And lots of it is cash. Israel people bring cash. Where are you going to find it now? They're all over, they're crying. What a sad ending to the wedding. They call the police. 3 o'clock at night, they're exhausted already. The bed is gone. No. Move on with the life. But a month later, 3-4 weeks later, the video arrived. So as they invite the entire family, everyone sit and watch the video. The wife said to the husband, see, it's like, look, this the bed is right there under the table. So he said to her, you're right, maybe we'll get lucky and see who stole it. I wait another 5 minutes, then they see somebody come, he sees back, like this, he come, follow this. He takes the rim, put it under his jacket, close the jacket and begin to run. Just when they see it on the screen, they heard, boom, a chair on the floor. They all look around, they see the father of the bride fainted. They look again in the screen, see, the father of the Kala stole the wedding gifts of his daughter and his son-in-law. Do you believe such thing? Baruch Hashem wasn't a full family. We don't need another problem in our fight. But still, father of all, even a goy, steal from your own daughter in the night of her wedding, how despicable you could be. So he fainted. So now, there's one moment of shame. One moment of shame, he couldn't take it, he fainted. A few times they had to wake him up, get up. The body protecting him from not dying. Now after 7 years of nonsense and fake lifestyle, 1 hour Yaakov, 2 hours Esav, 3 hours Yaakov, 5 hours Esav, big Israeli salad. He himself doesn't even know what he is anymore. Yeah. Because the Yetzirah, in the beginning, it makes it look like a sin, then less. Until after 15 times he does it, he already will convince you that it's a mitzvah what he does. Mitzvah to write Lashon Hara and murder his family. Mitzvah, for sure mitzvah. If they do it to him, oh, what a shine. Man, look, they're spilling my blood. His blood is red. His friend's blood is not red, it's green. It's no problem, he can spill it to the garbage. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening. Now one more problem. The education system is already totally bankrupt. Totally bankrupt. Yeah, they know how to teach Gemara, they teach Halacha, Mishnayos. Nobody forgot this. But to make them human being, decent human being, Ba'alei Yirat Shamayim, Emunah, and Kavod LaHashem, Emunah Chachamim, the way it should be, it's very far away from the requirements. And it's a problem. Why? Because the world is full of apikorsim. Every other person in the street, whether he's a Jew or Goy, is anti-Torah and anti-Emet. And they find so many things to come and challenge our children. We don't prepare the children from the day for the day after. They learn. He can tell you tomorrow, these Mishnayos. One Israeli will sit next to him on a plane 10 hours and tell him the things that he know, all the apikorsim. For every 10 guys like this, 5 will go off the derech, what do you think? They only will stay full if they have a very high neshama and a natural love to Hashem. So it doesn't matter. They're not even doing it. They need proofs, they don't need proofs. They're doing it, they have emunah iveret. My father was like this, my grandfather was this. It's not a sheila here. I do it, that's it. But most of us are not like this. Can be formed from birth, 4 years, you learn, call it. You have a lot of questions. Questions about Chazal, questions about science in the Gemara, questions about all kinds of things. If you try to deny it, let me just open you the list of my emails that I get from here. How many people who look rabbis הם לא אמונה at all, not in חז"ל, not in תורה שבעל פה, not in anything. Nothing. So I don't believe. It's a problem. But you look like a rabbi. It's only for my parents. Only for my parents. I don't believe and I don't keep anything. I say, so you believe the world like this with the beard and the pants and the this and the hat? And you don't believe? Don't believe. I say, why you don't believe it? So there's two different kinds of people. There's some people who met an apikorsim on the internet and they confused it. Why? Because they were not educated for the threat out there. They're not ready. The Sanhedrin, they knew all the nonsense in the world to argue with people. They knew their languages, they knew everything. They knew Chokhmat Ayvani, the Chachazal. They were able to argue with things that you won't believe. They're not scientists. They learned all that. Because they knew how to argue with them. We don't train our kids to this moment because we think 60 years is not going to leave yeshiva or it's going to stay in the same block in Borough Park for the next 60 years, but it's not reality. Tomorrow he moves, he meets people, he goes to work, whatever it's going to be. They take him away from his emunah. 5, 16, the Yetzer Hara of course helped because it's very hard to live like this as it is. And then slowly, slowly, his wife's skirts become shorter and shorter, and the wig is longer, and more perfume, and more makeup, and more vacation. And then he ties his beard with the rubber band and hides his payoff. Next thing is in Acapulco. I'll never forget. When I came for the first time on Shabbos to Monsi, they told me, you stay by a very important family. I go in there. I want to tell you the name. I'm sure you know them. Very important family. I don't even, I won't ever say the name, I have a karat hatov for them for having me in the house for Shabbat. But the wife there, completely Hasidish woman, and her husband, completely long payos, I felt happy on Shabbos suddenly. So she asked my wife, where are you going, which beach you going to on vacation? So she said to her, beach? What kosher beach you have? In Israel, you have a beach for one day for men, one day for women. And even that, there's millions of questions if a woman can go there because people who sell ice creams pass by. You know, it's not 100%. It's the lifeguard is standing there. It's a problem. So she said to her, why? We go to Puerto Rico. She said, but why? It's all men and women needs. She said, no problem. My husband put the rubber band. It goes like this. He hides under a baseball hat. You know, it looks like a regular bill. So she asked her, you go with the bathing suit? She said, yes, me, my nanny, this. That was the first shock I ever got. From then until now, I have a book all the way from here to Monsi. I'll pay for it. Well, what's happening? So who are we fooling? I don't understand. Why? Isn't it a shame to dress like this, to suffer in the heat, to do so much, and in the end not to pass and not to go to Olam Haba? Who is going to suffer more? The Chiloni from Tel Aviv with earrings and tattoos and ponytails and does whatever he wants like a dog? Or someone who did almost everything, but almost, and he failed in the end? Who's going to suffer more? Who? He said, I did whatever I want. I'm a monkey. You slaughtered the monkey, finished. And him? Shabbos, almost. Modesty, almost. Lashon Hara, almost. Learning, almost. Everything, almost. Shabbos in the end, I'm sorry, my friend. The red line is here, and you're almost in the red line. A little bit more, and you will pass the red line. What a tragedy. Almost. And he's going to be with Isaac from Shenkin in the same place. And Itzik will smile to him. So when you're smiling, you fool. We bought in a garbage. He said, well, at least I live 6 years, I do whatever I want. You thought you were tally. You ended up with me. Now you ask, you're exaggerating. How can it be? Comparing him to Itzik. Come on, after all, he did 60-70%. That's what we don't get. From Itzik, Hashem didn't expect anything. Nothing. He knows the monkey. You know, he grew up in the jungle, they never taught in Yirat Shamayim, he never saw how Gemara looks, he never heard of Rashi. Itzik, you tell me what Shulchan Aruch is a cookbook. You expect him to be a Shomer Shabbos? You expect him not to follow his desires? Where are you living? I don't understand. Now, Ben Zion Abba Shaul say, the most common mistake by the four people is that they tolerate, they blame the secular people for all the tragedies in Am Yisrael, and in reality it's all our fault. From the 70% mechalelei Shabbat and ochlei Shvanim, Hashem doesn't expect anything. He knows who they are. Who up in the kibbutz, Tel Aviv. Who up in Russia, Kamenis, Beans, Kent, Israel, his master. What do you expect from him? He's expecting to know the Yirat Shamayim. What do you expect from him? He doesn't know what he lives for, Bechlal. He doesn't know what he lives. You ask him, tell me what's the purpose of it, he doesn't know. But we, those who grew up in Emet, supposedly, and they betrayed Hashem, it's much more painful, much more painful. If you have 10 kids, only one of them you could afford to put in yeshiva. The other nine you sent to work, 6 years old. That's how it used to be, what do you think? The one talented boy had the Rebbe, Melamed, in Cheder. All the other one went to war in the market. Carry watermelon, shoemakers, farmers, kids. 6, 7 years old. You're not anything brilliant to work. That's why there was always two departments. Big, giant, Talmidei Chachamim, and Todah Lamei Aratzot, who doesn't know how to read and write. There was no in between. And women, girls, never went to yeshivot until a generation ago. It's not such thing. Girls go to Bet Yaakov, or Bet Rachel, or Bet Rivka. It's not such thing. That's why the Gemara say, if you want to marry a girl, shake her brothers. If the tzaddiki, marry her. What does she have to do with her brother? Her brothers are gangster on the street, and she's a tzanua girl from Bet Yaakov with the best midos and modesty. Just because she has two brothers that are bums off the derech on the street, she's gonna mess up her life? Well, it's the connection. So the answer is, it doesn't apply for today. At all. It only applies to the previous generations. Why? Because in the previous generation, women did not get Torah education. They grew up in a house, right away they cook, they help with the babies, with the house, that's what they did. So the only Torah they know is from their brothers who come from yeshiva and learn in a house. That's the only Torah she hears. If she has decent brothers, marry her because she heard a lot of Torah in a house. But if her brothers are on the street all day, walking, they don't know one word of Torah. This girl has no knowledge, nothing. If her brothers are Talmidei Chachamim, expect her to be a good kosher wife. If not, don't touch her. She's not for you. Today, it's not the case. Today, girls get their own education, independent education. So I saw one of the poskim. He said, it's enough she has one good brother just to be mekayim divrei chazal, to be yotzei l'shnei hashitot. Technically, it doesn't matter anymore. Why? Because the world is a different place. Just before we finish, we have to begin to understand that to be a kosher Jew is not from the outside. The outside is 1%. That's it. 99% is Hashem choker klayot v'alev. Shmuel Anavi came to find the king in the house of Ben Ishai. Everyone who thought he's a king wasn't the king. Because he looked from the outside. Hadrat Pani, impressive. None of them was worthy. In the end, who was the king? Shepherd, suspecting him as a mamzer. His father was hiding him. What happened in the end? He was the number one king in history. Neshama like this, read Tehillim, you get goosebumps all over your body. You really pay attention to the words. Tzama nafshi, 100% legit. It's not like today, someone writes in the newspaper, 90% of what he writes, he does the opposite. This is an integral part of the Tanakh, that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put his stamp and every word there, approved. That's how we feel. Tzama nafshi means tov li torat picha, means 100%, we give him a pile of diamonds. And 1 hour Torah, he will not replace it. We should also know, we determine our reward with our own behaving. Two Jews learn, they don't get the same reward. Besides the level of the brain and the difficulty of understanding and where you grew up, and what education you got until you got to be 20 years old, you and your chevruta, it's completely different difficulties. So obviously Hashem knows everyone what he deserves, but I'm not talking about that. That's needless to say. It's something we don't pay attention. We evaluate our reward with our own words. And also our punishments is 99% comes from our mouth. The way we judge others, that's how we're going to get judged. The way we have mercy on our olam rachem al abriot, merachamim ala min ha-shamayim, what do you think? It's agadot? It's 100%, that's the betting shel mala. You have mercy on others? He didn't say on tzadikim, olam rachem. He said on others, afilu reshaim. Merachem alem, they make mistakes, they're going to get punished. He has mercy on them. Merachamim ala min ha-shamayim, when he becomes a rasha, when he does something. So how do we determine? You sit in kolel and you learn. And you need parnasa. You don't have parnasa. Struggle. And one builder comes. Hey, Moshe, you want to make some money? What's the job? Construction. But I don't know construction. Yeah, it's okay. You're just going to be, you know, bringing me things, tools. I'm just going to use you for things that you know what to do. How much an hour? $12 an hour. How many days? 3 days. Thinking 10 hours a day, I'm learning here. 3 days, $360. Better to learn. So he said to why? It's not good enough. He said, no, for $12 an hour, I might as well stay. Okay, no, you're right. $17 an hour. Okay, close the mouth. This person just signed his death certificate. All the Torah he learned will be equal to $17 in this world. That's what it's worth for me. Both of you, that's what you're going to get, like in everything in business. How much you want to give me for this diamond? 1,000. How much you want to give me? 3,000. Oh, two different values. What you evaluate, that's what you're going to get. I always tell people, when you go to the pawn shop, or you're going to buy used things, so sometimes people go to sell them, right? So don't right away take your gold and tell him how much you're going to give me for this 20 gram of gold. Tell him, I want to buy 20 grams of gold from you, 18 carat. How much you going to sell me a used bracelet? What do you have over here? Okay, here. How much a gram? Whatever. He said, let's say $50 a gram. Whatever. He said, okay, here, give me 40. You want to tell him, here, thank you. Or you come to a carpenter, he fixes used furniture. You come, you want to sell him a chair. He's going to give you $5 for this chair. So you come and see something similar to yours. How much is this? $150. How much is this? Okay, here, mine for 50. Then he's embarrassed already. If he just say 20, he's gonna give you 10, he's gonna charge you 150, he's embarrassed. So over here, the same thing. If a person says, $17, no. $50, no. Okay, you know what? If you pay me $50 an hour, I come and work with you. Okay, so 10 hours a day, 500 a day. He's a worker right away, someone he can trust. This guy, every hour of Torah, it's $50 for him. Three times than the other one. But one person who sits right now and they're offering him $5,000 an hour, money making the entire year in Kodesh. You say, you know what? Of course, what's the Yetzer Hara tells him? Listen, Moshe, it's the deal of your life. You work 3 days, every day $500. Every day $5,000, time free $15,000. Your entire year is paid. You can see it and learn Torah with Yeshuva that it's going to be a rida lezorach aliyah. Bitula l'shem kiyuma. Hundreds of words. So they asked this question. They went to Rabbi Tzion Abba Shmuli. One person told him, they offered me a job. One time job. Lots of money. 3 days, I get my parnasa problems from my head. And I can learn for 3 months with no problems. Can I go? Take 3 days off? So he told him, today you have what to eat? Right now, you have what to eat? He said, yes. So you can finish the day, you have what to eat and to drink? Okay. You have a place to sleep tonight? He said, not patur, he said. Toratcha umanutcha. There's no permission. What do you think? Hashem needs you to go work in construction to make money? So that's at the Yetzer Hara. Show Hashem that you don't want the money, you want the Torah. And you see how many miracles will happen to you. Why it doesn't happen to us? Because as soon as the opportunity comes, it goes with Mara in a second. But when the opportunity comes and he won't close the Gemara, even 6 months struggling, 2 years later he's gonna make a lot of money. There's one Hasid in Monsi. He's a millionaire. How he became a millionaire? Because he's a fool. If he was smart, he would not make a penny. Just because he's fool in business, he became a millionaire. Why? One crook that owned a big lot in upstate New York in the jungles, in the forest, he said, this guy doesn't know anything about real estate. He just got married. He has some money. Let me sell it to him in huge lots, lots of acres. $20,000. He cannot do anything with this. He has big lots, trees to clean it, to make sewer. It will become $1 million. I'll get the money. He bought it for peanuts. You know, upstate New York, you know, in the mountains. So he came to him and said, where is somebody gonna give you 40 acres for $20,000? Look, 1 acre in Muncie, $500,000. So he said, wow, I'm sure they know. He didn't know about business. You need to clean the rocks, tractors, to make sewer. He didn't know. So he said, wow, 40 acres. So yeah, one day it's gonna go, it's gonna work millions. The population did not expand to this area yet. Yeah, wait 5 years, you're gonna be a millionaire. He bought it, everyone was making fun of him. You're a fool. Why didn't you ask? One day I get a phone call from a broker. Are you such and such? Yes. He said, well, can we come meet you? You own this lot in upstate. You already forgot you own it. He said, yes, what's the one? Come, somebody wants to talk to you. So he said to him, listen, I don't know if it was an electric company or Verizon company, or a camp, something like that, and they were very close to his area. They wanted to double their area, and the only way to expand was to his direction. So he said, this time I won't repeat the same mistake I did. He took one rabbi that knows about business, he got a few $1 million from the lot, and became a millionaire. Why he became a millionaire? He was trusting Hashem, Be'emunah, he went, he wanted to fool him. In the end, that was his salvation. Sometimes a person is a genius. You know, in 1987, I once met an expert in the stock market, on making fortune every day. So he was telling me that in 1987, before the stock market crashed, he told me a year before, I said to him, you probably were making fortune in those days. So you'd be surprised, we were not making a penny. Only the fools made millions. Why? They saw every day the stock market going higher and higher and higher. Every day automatically, you open the deck, right away, 100 up, 150 up. Everyone buy, making. We, the experts, knew it's a balloon. It has to collapse any day. So we were very afraid to buy. So we were standing still on our money. But the fools, they bought, until it exploded and it went to zero. But we were not making money. What made them not make money? Their knowledge. The fools were making millions. There was one gabbai in shul. After 20 years, it was a gabbai. Their new rebbe came, took over. So the new rebbe said to him, where is the books of the community? I want to see what comes in, what goes out. He told him, everything is in my head. 20 years, I have a box, all the cash goes in. The rabbi said, no, these days are over. We want every donation to be written, what goes in, out. I want the balance sheet. So after a few days, he said, no, did you show me how much we have? How much? He said, rabbi, I don't know how to write a thing. All my life, I'm like this, what? I don't know how to write. Everything is in my head. So he told the community, the president, we have to pay him compensation and fire him and get a new gabbai. Give him some money for the 20 years he was a gabbai here. So they fired him, they gave him money. So they got somebody that knows how to run the mat. So now he had money. He didn't know what to do. So he went to his rabbi. His rabbi told him, I have a good idea. Between that town to our town, in the middle, try to build a motel. People get stuck, snow, this, with the horses. They don't have a place to sleep. You build a motel, you make a lot of money. And the restaurant, you know. The way it used to be. So he made a motel. Business started to boom. He expanded the motel more and more. He became very rich. And I had a lot of cash. One time some banker slept by him. He saw how the business is booming. Told him, what are you doing with all the money you're making? He said, I'm hiding everything under the ground somewhere. And he said, you fool. You can make so much interest. We will show you how you double your money in 2-3 years. Ah, yeah, yeah, okay, so invite him to the bank, say, see, then I invest here, you make this, you double, you triple. So they wrote all the paperwork, say, sign here, and say, I don't know how to write. I've never held a pen. I don't know how to write and read. So the manager of the bank told him, are you fooling me? You make all these millions, you tell me you don't know how to write and read? He said, I'm telling you. So after he said, come on, you're playing games, you don't want to sign. He said, no, I really don't, I never signed, never had a pen. So he told him, you think I'm a fool? You're a fool. The only reason you are talking to me now and begging me to invest is because I don't know how to read and write. If I knew, I wouldn't be here. I would still be in Gabay in a shul, serving tea. That's what it is. It's all emunah in Hashem. But we already managed to forget it. Shtadlus, shtadlus, mitzvah, everything is shtadlus today. Shtadlus 5%, 10%, 20%, that's it. Chazon Ish, never tried more than twice. One time he tried, didn't work out, he went to see someone, wasn't there. He went again, wasn't there, said Mishamayim, finished. No more than twice. So I say to myself, let me try to be the Chazon Ish, let's see if it's gonna work for me. Sometimes we dream. So I tried one thing once, I made a phone call, didn't work out. Made another phone call, didn't work out. Third phone call, I got the money. I said, Baruch Hashem, I didn't try to be the Chazon Ish. I'm gonna have to check. Then I started to think what a fool I am. If I was really the Chazon Ish, in reality, not in a dream, I would get it the first or second times because Hashem knows my limitation. You know, I won't try the third time. He has to give it to me first or second. That's it. No second, no third chance. Hashem knows I'm a loser. And I count on my ishtadlut. So he's gonna let me try 10 times. And in the end, it looks that being a nudnik got me the money. That's what I think. But no. You fix yourself once or twice, that's it. Once. Let's do one more ishtadlut b'derech hateva, second time, it's not mine, goodbye. Try to get on the flight, miss, postpone. Try another one, postpone. Let's go back home, right? We have to go back. Hashem already told me what he wants. And it's not called simani, emunah in Hashem. I live like this, that's it. One ishtadlut, once, twice, finish, one, two, phone call, and that's it. By opening a channel for Hashem to send, that's all. Bezrat Hashem, now we are 1 week before Purim. We read yesterday in a parasha, Kchu li truma, you know what the Mefarshim say, Kchu, not Tnu. What does it mean, Kchu? When you give donation, it's like a wire. Okay, you give it to this person, but it's like wiring the money to Olam Haba. Wiring the money. I will finish with a 1 minute story. Oh, the battery died, Baruch Hashem. How long it's been blinking? Oh, you like, long time. There used to be the first billionaire in Israel. The first billionaire in Israel, his name was Shaul Eisenberg. Today there's many billionaires, more than 20 billionaires, but he was the first one. He made big business with the Chinese government, selling aluminum, metal, and he was a Holocaust survivor. He came to Israel, and he built a very, very big empire of businesses, became very rich. And he had one cousin survive from the war, female cousin. Everyone else died. And she came to Israel, and their ways separated. She married an Avrech Kolel. They have many children, all of them Bnei Torah. After 18 years that they had to marry their first son, they don't have money. They only live with what they have. So he said to his wife, your cousin is the richest man in Israel, or in the world. He's very rich. Why don't you go and ask for help? She said, 18 years we're not even one phone call. Now I'm going to show up in his office. I said, listen, it's family. Don't be an embarrassment, 5-10 minutes. Then hello, hello, and then they will help. Peanuts for me. She saw there's really no choice. She went. She walked in. She said, Shaul, so sorry, please forgive me, we're not in touch, you know, we are very religious, you are not. It was hard. But now I have children. How many children do you have? It was very nice way. How many? Just completely money. How many? She said, yeah, and we married one. We don't have money. My husband is very cool, he's running in college. He said, why didn't you come to me all these years? I would help you, I helped some other people. How much you do? Whatever. He said to the secretary, please write to her a check. $100,000 right away to be enough for everything they need. And send her every first of the month a check, $10,000 for other expenses. I know each day they can reach. That's it. Hello, shalom, goodbye, shalom. She went on her way. A few years later, he died. And all the famous and rich people and the politicians, they came from all over the world for him. He was very, very well connected. And in his funeral, she was the only full woman. And they say to her, his son and daughter, say to him, can you say a eulogy, esped, for our father? You're the only family member we have. She's thinking to herself, a woman in front of 500 people here, 5,000 people, and a lot of them going. She say, wow, he saved us so much. A karatza tov, let me go and say a few words. So she got up after everyone spoke. She was the last one spoke. It's a true story, it happens in reality. So she said, Shaul, everyone here praised you and spoke about your achievement and what you left in this world. I want to speak about what you took with you. And then she told the story. And everyone was crying, including the going. The going was taking their sunglasses and they cleaning their tears. Because when it comes to the moment of truth, people know the truth. Over the years, they want to forget. But in the time when we saw the body goes to the grave, even the goyim were crying. All the rich and famous people, when she said, what you left in this world, I came to praise you for what you took with you, all the Torah of my children, and their marriages, and grandchildren. It's all thanks to you. Who knows, maybe it saved him, the Torah of his family. We don't know. Keshbonot Shamayim. But this is what we want. We want to get there after 70, 80 years, not almost passing the line. But Hashem, I look, what's the difference between me and Rabbi Akiva? Look, we all look the same. He had a beard, I had a beard. He had a cover, I had a cover. We learned Torah, he learned Torah, everything the same. It's just look the same. But he is there and you are there. The idea is, I want to be the Rabbi Akiva of the door. He may not nearly meet it. So dream high, he will get 70%. If you just dream to be an avrech, to print a card, maybe things will work out. In the end, you'll fail. Most important thing, like the Gaon Mivilna said, kol ha'adam. If we correct our thoughts, you wouldn't hear about us on the news every day. Why we make it to the news? Because everything is rotten under us. You gotta clean the foundation. You don't fix the foundation, the entire buildings will collapse. Another generation from now, a lot of people would look fool. But nobody at all would be fool. Nobody at all. It's all a show. It's all make believe. If we're not going to fix the foundation right now, starting from the yeshivot, starting from the school, starting from the manners, from the recheret, the relationship between us and the rest of the world, and all the other problems, and the internet issues. Everyone, not allowed, not allowed, close, this, that, filters. Not one person speaking about changing the system, teaching the children that the world has lots of poison. Let us teach you how to protect yourself from this poison. To get the children to a situation that they'll be disgusted to go to the internet. Because the more you say not allowed, not allowed, everyone goes there again. Unless if they're high in Shammah, like I said before. The more you say, not allowed, not allowed, first thing he wants, you put a person in a mansion, 60 bedrooms, it's all yours. Don't go into this room. First thing he will do, just think, how do I get this room? You can't avoid it. Adam, Hashem told him, all the trees are yours. This one don't touch. What did he do 5 minutes later? Everything is yours. The angels are serving you. Leave that tree alone. You told me not allowed. And when Hashem came to him and said, you eat from the tree, what did he answer, you know? Achalti ve'ochal od. It's delicious. I ate, and I will eat again. One thing we learn from this story, if somebody asks you, who is a wise Jew, what would you answer? Someone who has busha. That's a symbol of wisdom. Why not sharp brain? Why not memory?
No.
What's the symbol of wisdom? Busha. Shame. How do we know? What's the name of the tree? It's Adat. Adat means the most important thing. Chokhmah bina v'adat. The ability, everything you learn with Chokhmah and Adat, to turn it into action. Adat kanita ma chasarta. Adat chasarta ma kanita. You have Adat, you have everything, Chazal said. You don't have Adat, you're zero, nothing. So Adat is the most important thing. Adam ate from Etz Adat, him and his wife, right away they realized they're naked, they got ashamed. Before they didn't know. So what's the first symptom when a person was a fool and he became wise? Shame. The first thing, the Torah. Nothing is coincidence in the Torah. Hashem wanted to teach us that when a person becomes bardat, that's how do you know if he has busha? Bayesh for his sins. Bayesh to do things. Not from people. From people is being egoistic. He doesn't want to get punished from the community. מתבייש מהשם. He's hidden in a room. He has an opportunity to do. Very embarrassed. השם is looking. הוא שם את כל העם. והתבוששו. He realized, wow, we're in front of, we're naked in front of השם. Are we ashamed inside the room like we ashamed on the street? Or we pretend? That's the question each one of us has to ask. I know I gave you like a Rosh Hashanah drasha here. On a Sunday like this. That's what I was asked. So I guess you want to blame me. I'm not the only guilty one here. I hope we won't regret coming. And Bezrat Hashem will meet again. Happy Purim, everyone. Call to you.